بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. إن شاء الله تعالى we will continue where we left off last week. And we are still in the very early stages of the topic of the seerah, the issue of revelation. We talked about really the first meeting we had. We defined what seerah is. We differentiated it from the hadith. We talked about the methodology of how we receive the seerah. Then we talked about the Arabian Peninsula prior to Islam. And then we talked about the birth of Rasulullah and his upbringing. And then we talked about the first revelation, how he received the revelation. And today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll pick up from here about what, you know, about his first revelation. And really, there are just going to be a couple of topics from the seerah, but there are comments on or commentaries on the things that relate to the events that we're talking about, so that we become clear. If you remember, we talked about, we said that the ulama of Islam, the scholars of Islam, made it a point to pay attention to the era, to Rasulullah's life, even before the mission, before the revelation of Islam. And we gave a reason. Does anybody remember? Remember why is it important to know who is this Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam prior to Islam? Because looking at his life, his mannerisms, his akhlaq, his interaction with people, his reputation amongst the people, give, you know, either raise doubts on his truthfulness or emphasize his truthfulness, meaning an evidence to his truthfulness. So one aspect of the truthfulness, not just about the akhlaq and the, you know, but even about being able to produce the Quran and Kareem, to bring something like the Quran and Kareem. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذَا لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْطِلُونَ. That if you were amongst the people who were able to recite, to read books, or write with your right hand, then the people who do not believe you, what will they say? They will have doubt in what you report. Meaning, Rasulullah, you have to put the revelation within the context of who Muhammad was and the era that it was revealed in. So Rasulullah was not somebody who's known to be a learned person. He was not somebody who read. He was not somebody who was exposed to the literature or the culture of the Jews and the Christians, the stories of the past and the histories and the, you know, theology. None of this was, you know, it was not known about the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all of a sudden, for him to produce a book like the Quran Kareem, to speak, addressing various topics, topics of history, topics of other religions, topics of prophets, topics related to the Day of Judgment, related to the ghaybiyat, you know, the unsensed, you know, like the angels and like shayateen and all of this. Where did he come up with this knowledge? And that's within that context that we are talking about the revelation. Even when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق, read in the name of your Lord who created. But there was no book with the angel. When Jibreel alayhi salam descended and he told him, اقرأ, you know, and he held him tight, and we went, you know, to detail it, you know, there was nothing really for him to read. And this is something that is very peculiar about, or very special about the Quran al-Kareem. So, Iyad bin Himar, a Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, he reported that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, قال ذات يوم في خطبته. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given a khutbah, a speech. And he says, and this hadith is Qudsi, أَلَا إِنَّ رَبِّي أَمَرَنِي أَنْ أُعَلِّمَكُمْ مِمَّا جَهِلْتُمْ. Allah Ta'ala commanded me to teach you what you do not know. Okay? مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي يَوْمِي هَذَا. From what he taught me up to today. And then he said, إِنَّمَا بَعَثْتُكَ لِأَبْتَلِيكَ وَأَبْتَلِيَ بِكَ وَأَنْزَلْتُ عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا لَا يَغْسِبُهُ الْمَاءِ تقرأه نائما ويقضان. And the hadith is in Sahih Muslim that it says that, you know, that I am commanded, that and indeed my Lord commanded me to teach you what you don't know from what he taught me, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, meaning Allah Ta'ala, I only sent you to test you and to test by you. Meaning that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is a source of test because he brings you the evidence. He is saying, he's claiming he's a prophet. You either accept it or not. You either, you know, pass or fail the test. And I reveal to you a book. وَأَنْزَلْتُ عَلَيْكَ كِتَابًا I reveal to you a book لَا يَغْسِلُهُ الْمَاءِ that it cannot be washed by water. تَقْرَأُهُ نَائِمًا وَيَقْضَانُ You read it while you are laying down or while you are awake, you know, meaning active. And that's the Quran al-Kareem. Quran al-Kareem is al-Maqru, that's recited, the oral recitation. The written is, what is it called? Mus'haf is a copy of the Quran. Yani the plural of Quran is Masahif. The copy of the Quran is called Mus'haf, the codex. But when we say the Quran is what's recited, and al-maktub is kitab. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ So both of them are there, but the feature of the Quran al-Kareem is that it is kept in the hearts, kept in the minds. You know, it cannot be washed, cannot be lost. It cannot be lost because it's memorized by the entire ummah. So it cannot be lost. And from generation to generation, they hand over the Quran al-Kareem to the next generation and like that until today, until the day of judgment. So it cannot be lost, cannot be washed away. It cannot be, you know, like any book. And you take any book now, any book in existence other than Quran al-Kareem. You know, go ahead, get it lost. And the knowledge in it is lost. It's gone. A book of physics, a book of chemistry, the books of religious books of other people. The Quran is different. That it is something that is recited. Okay, and this hadith is a long hadith actually. Now, and we talked, this is just from last week. Last week we left off and I said that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw the angel, Jibreel Alayhi Salam, how many times? I said twice, right? Yes. The actual, in his true shape. Because remember, Jibreel Alayhi Salam comes in different forms, or let's put it, comes in the shape of man. And that will remember the hadith about the man came wearing very white clothes and very dark hair. He came to Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He said, Mal Islam, what is Islam? And then Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, you know, the articles of Islam. Then he said, and then he told him, you said the truth. And then he said, Al-Iman. After that, Al-Ihsan. Then he left. And then Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go look for him. You know, so they went and they could not find him, as if the man disappeared. So he said, Allah is So he said, you know, go find him. Nobody found him. And then the Rasulullah said, that is Jibreel, came to teach you your religion. So Jibreel, the angel, Jibreel, comes in the form of a man different from his true form. Okay. But the Rasulullah saw him in his true form twice. And this is just because I was not sure. I just wanted to emphasize the point. So the first one was after the revelation of Wahy. You know? So Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, he said, سَمِعْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَهُوَ يُحَدِّثُ عَنْ فَتْرَةٍ أي انْقِطَاعِ الْوَحِي The Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم is talking about a period where the Wahy stopped coming down. So he said in hadith, in his hadith, he said, فَبَيْنَمَا أَنَا أَمْشِي إِذْ سَمِعْتُ صَوْتًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ When I was walking, I heard a voice from the sky. فَرَفَعْتُ رَأْسِي I raised my head, I looked up, you know, فَإِذَا الْمَلَكُ الَّذِي جَاءَنِي فَإِذَا الْمَلَكُ الَّذِي جَاءَنِي بِحِرَاءِ جَالِسٌ عَلَى كُرْسِيٍ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ Then I saw the angel that who came to me in the in Hira. Remember, and I said, what form he was in? Well, we don't know, in Hira. But he came to him in Hira. After that, he said, the same angel who came to me in Hira, I saw him sitting between the heavens on a chair or between the heavens and the earth, you know, covering it. فجئت منه رعبا يعني I got scared from him فرجعت and I said زملوني so this was actually before the era or the before the surah of المزمل after the surah of العلق Because remember, the first five ayat were revealed in Alaq, and then there was an interruption. And then, you know, when the angel revealed himself, you know, that's when the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saw him. And the second, by the way, the hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. The second one that he, when he saw him, it was in al-Mi'raj. And this is what I mentioned, it was in al-Mi'raj. And that's what the Surah al-Najm alludes to. وَلَقَدْ رَآهُ نَزْلَةً أُخْرَى عِنْدَ سِدْرَةٍ مُنْتَهَى. You know, عِنْدَهَا جَنَّةُ مَوَدْ يَغْشَى السِدْرَةُ مَا يَغْشَى. So, and he saw him the second time, another time, you know, where in near Sidrat al-Muntaha, and that is in, this, that's in al-Mi'raj. Okay. This is just so that just to make sure that it's clear. Now, when we say that he saw him, by the way, and this is just a quick, maybe we'll benefit from it, inshallah ta'ala. Abdullah bin Mas'ud said that the angel Jibreel has 600 wings. You cannot imagine, don't try to imagine, because whatever you imagine is going to be Hollywood based. Whatever you imagine is going to be somebody who showed you something. For you to imagine something, you have to base it on some form of reality, you know? And you look at the just to show you, the human being is limited within what they sense. Take the most creative Hollywood movie. When they want to draw it to bring a monster. What is this monster? It still has legs, has arms, maybe one eye instead of two, maybe they'll put the eye in his head, maybe five eyes in there, you know, but it's still at the end of the day, it's arms, legs, head, you know, eyes, because the human being cannot think outside of its surroundings, of his surroundings. And when we say imagine, and that's why you cannot imagine what's in the Jannah. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فِيهَا مَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذْنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى بَالِ بَشَرٍ. It has in it what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and nobody, nothing crossed the mind of a human being. Meaning you cannot imagine what's in the Jannah. The fruits of the Jannah, we tell them, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَأُوتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا, that it sounds the same. The apple is an apple and a rumman is rumman, you know, the pomegranate is pomegranate and the grapes are grapes, but it is the grapes of al-Jannah, not the grapes of the dunya. And, you know, and so to sit and contemplate upon it, you're wasting your time. You cannot, because whatever you come up with, it's going to be speculation, you know. And the same thing when we say Jibreel alayhi salam, we automatically think of wings, we think of the tooth fairies that we see in movies. We see the things that are portrayed, you know, based on the Western culture. But we really don't have an image of Jibreel alayhi salam. We cannot imagine him. We know that Abdullah bin Mas'ud and the Hadith in Bukhari, that he said that the angel has 600 wings. This is the statement of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or Abdullah bin Mas'ud. This is the statement of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. So what weight does it have? How did he know?
From the Prophet.
Yeah, but he did not say the Prophet said. Mm-hmm. So in al-Hadith, in the science of Hadith or ilm al-Hadith, the Sahabi can make a statement depending on the statement. If the statement may be something like, for example, something related to ijtihad, his understanding, then that would be the opinion of the Sahabi. So for example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran says, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا مَا ظَهْرَ مِنْهَا, that the Muslim, the women, should not show their zina except what is apparent of it. So Abdullah bin Abbas comes and says, the face and the hands. Well, that is the ijtihad of Abdullah bin Mas'ud. Why? Because it's a hukum shar'i. It is especially that Abdullah bin Mas'ud has a different opinion. That it is what's apparent, it means the clothes that she wears. So this is, they say this is hadith mawquf, meaning what it is actually, you know, or this is the opinion of Sahabi. It's an athar, it's a report from the Sahabi. But if the Sahabi comes and says something that is not subject of ijtihad, he's talking about al-ghayb. He's describing the angel. This is not subject something of ijtihad. Let my understanding is this, the Arabic language means that, maybe that, and no, not like that. He's talking about something in the unsensed, something in the ghaib. And we say that if the ulama of the hadith says that if the sahabi says something that is not subject of ijtihad by its nature, it takes the same opinion as the hadith. It takes the same level of hadith. Meaning that he must have heard it from Rasulullah. Because how did you know that it has 600 wings? There is no way for you to think and come up with 600. Why not 500, 555? There is no such. It means he heard it from Rasulullah. Okay. And one condition that they have, ulama al-hadith, for this is that the report, the sahabi, does not talk to the Jews or the Christians and take from them. Because it could be that it's taken from the Israeliyat, you know? So that's the condition. But this is, as I said, I'm just, inshallah ta'ala, I'm something that is, I'm just for us to benefit. So after the initial wahi and a few revelations, the wahi stopped. You know, now there are different opinions that I saw. Imam Ibn al-Buti, rahimahullah, contemporary alim from Syria, you know, he said it stopped for 6 months. You know, somebody said 40 days. And there is really no evidence to show a date, to put a date for this. Some of them, as Ibn Hajar in Fath al-Bari, said that it is only a matter of days. You know, ayyam, just a matter of days. And it means that not really a long time. And here is something that is, that we need to pay attention to, which is that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became so disturbed, so sad that the revelation stopped coming, that you have a hadith in Bukhari, and this hadith is from Imam Zuhri, rahimahullah, that Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you know what, let me read you the hadith itself so that maybe you can get a feel for hadith. And how did it study? قال الزهري said, فأخبرني عروة عن عائشة رضي الله عنها أنها قالت عروة told me from عائشة, our mother عائشة رضي الله عنها, that she said, وفتر الوحي فترة حتى حزن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. You know, and then the wahi stopped, paused for a period of time until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became very, very sad. Fima balagana. You know, now he continues. Fima balagana. What was reported to us. Huznan ghada minhu miraran kay yataradda min ru'us shawahiq al-jibal. That he was so sad that he was going to the mountains, going to the top of the mountains, wanting to throw himself from the mountain. He wanted to kill himself, alayhi salatu wasalam, wa riyadu billah. You know, so every time the hadith continues, فَكُلَّمَا أَوْفَى بِذَرْوَةِ جَبَلٍ لِكَيْ يُلْقِي مِنْهُ نَفْسَهُ تَبَدَّى لَهُ جِبْرِيلُ. Every time he would go to an angel to the mountain to throw himself, Jibril would show himself to him. فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدٍ إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ حَقَّ. You are truly the messenger of Allah. So then he would calm down, and then he would repeat the same thing. You know, فَإِذَا أَوْفَى, you know, that the angel would say this. This hadith is in Bukhari. This report is in Bukhari. Do you see a problem with it? I'll tell you the first problem. Yes, tafadhal.
I mean, when you told him you are the prophet of Allah, this is one other thing. Why would he go to the mountain again?
Yeah, but even more basic. Why would he go the first time? But you see, remember when we talked about the hadith, every hadith has two components, as-sanad wal-matn, the chain of reporters and the content, right? So now when the ulama al-hadith, this is not my, requirements, this is ilm al-hadith, this is how they put it. So for a hadith to be acceptable, whether hasan or sahih, because that's the only hadith, the types of hadith they accept, hasan or sahih. For it to be hasan or sahih and they accept it, it has to meet both conditions. The report has to be valid, that it's a chain of reporters has to be valid, and the content has to be valid. If one of them is missing, the hadith is rejected. Okay, the hadith is rejected. And now, of course, when we say, just as a note, it's much easier to critique the chain than to critique the content. It's much easier to say, okay, this is reported by this. Well, this reporter is weak. That reporter did not hear from this reporter. This reporter was forgetful, so we don't take from him. It's easier to say, to do this, than to actually analyze the content of the hadith and reach a conclusion with it. So the problem here, by the way, actually it has both problems. The first problem is that Az-Zuhri, rahimahullah, from al-Tabi'in, Az-Zuhri actually, whenever he does not mention who reported to him, you know, they call it balaghat Az-Zuhri, information of, by Az-Zuhri. And automatically it's not accepted by the scholars of hadith. Because look at he says, fima balaghana, what was reported to us. Well, okay, who reported to you? In the beginning, he said, look at this. In the beginning of the hadith, he said, Az-Zuhri says, now Az-Zuhri is saying, فَأَخْبَرَنِي عُرْوَى عَنْ عَائِشَ. Urwa told me, from Aisha, you know, such and such and such, right? And so that's a chain, correct chain, no problem. Urwa from Aisha, Urwa told Az-Zuhri. That's a continuous chain. But when he says in the middle of the report, after he's saying, حتى حزن رسول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في, you know, until he, the Prophet became very sad. Now, then he squeezed in another statement. He said, فيما بلغنا, what was reported to us, by whom? The hadith has inqita', has there is a missing reporter. The ulama rejected. And this is the first problem. And by the way, this hadith by, of course, Albani, rahimahullah, said that it is da'if. Okay, for the obvious reason. And that's one, the chain is corrupt. But there is another corruption in it. There is another problem with it, which is the ismah, the infallibility of the prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he becomes a prophet, he becomes ma'soom. Ma'soom not just in the delivery of the message, but even in his behavior, even in his attitude towards the message. What do you mean he is going to kill himself and throw himself from the mountains? And on this report, by the way, you have many Orientalists who jumped on it. And they started saying, look, your prophet is trying to kill himself by throwing himself from the mountains. You know, when we Muslims, okay, you took the hadith from us, just like we talked about Waraqa bin Nawfal last time. You took the hadith from us, then you stick to the rules that we put for accepting the hadith. Because it's our hadith, it's our science, it's our methodology. You took it from us, then stick to the norms. Then based on what we put in, you can criticize. But don't make stuff up, you know? So the hadith is that it is also against the asma of the prophets, alayhim salam. Yes.
So why did Bukhari
Bukhari included, by the way, the hadiths that are mu'allaqat as well. There are different categories, but I just want to say something about al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Al-Bukhari, the book of Bukhari was not written for the lay person like my face. It was not written for the lay people to come and read it and actually form ideas, form understanding from it. It was actually for the people who are specialized in ilm al-hadith. It is not for the lay people. And that's why you have books written about how to understand Bukhari. So the people who take the book of Bukhari and they start reading from, you know, Bidayat al-Wahy and, you know, all of it, if you don't understand the map, you don't understand the way to understand Bukhari, you're wasting your time because you are going to come up with wrong conclusions.
I think one of the benefits of having it also shown an example of such hadith. If he neglects mentioning these, we will not have an opportunity to see an example of what a weak hadith is.
No.
Like, you know, if he like to say, no, I don't like this one, I'm going to throw it out, then 1400 years later, we don't have that opportunity to see, okay, here's an example of what it means.
And the, you know,
so I think it's good to mention these weaknesses and in a way.
And this leads me to the point I wanted to mention. Critiquing a hadith is also not for the lay person. It's not an exaggeration to say that the ulama of Islam, not all of them, but the people, the ahl al-hadith, the ulama of al-hadith, they spent their entire life doing hadith. That's all they did. That is, most of them are not fuqaha. They're not jurists. They're not people who derive. People who just were interested in, is this hadith valid or not? How many chains? Who reported it? Is it, you know, and they would put their findings. So we would do Islam disservice by automatically me, because I read the book, you know, while I'm watching TV, you know, to come and start criticizing this hadith is da'if and this hadith is sahih and this hadith doesn't make sense to me. And this hadith, I have a problem with it. This is doing Islam disservice. None of us would dare to do this in medicine, to say that, you know, I read a book or I did a Google search and I got this conclusion about, you know, this medicine does not work for this disease. All of a sudden we make ourselves doctors because I did a Google search. It doesn't work. It doesn't work like that. It is really a deep and sophisticated science, very meticulous science. You know, I know the word science is not, it's an aspect of knowledge. It's not really the accurate word to use, science. But especially more difficult is when you take the content of the hadith, the matan, and you do matan criticism. The matan criticism belongs to people, not only the muhaditheen, but also the fuqaha and the ulama of aqidah. And in other words, now you're getting into areas that require much more knowledge even than just simply ilm al-rijal, who's the reporter. People like us, with all due respect to everybody, people like us do not belong in that field. If we learn from the people who have it, and we really, as I always say, I'll be more than happy if I'm able to repeat what they said accurately. Because most of the time also, even the, you know, the accuracy in reporting, we go off misunderstanding what they say, because they have their own terminologies. Every madhab has their own terminologies, conventions. Every madhab has its own, you know. So all I'm saying is the matan has to be critiqued by people who are able to critique it, not by making. Any questions so far or comment?
Yes, sir. What is the difference between Hassan and Sahih? You always hear about Sahih, but Hassan.
Yeah. الصحيح is the higher level, okay, which is what they call ما رواه العبد الضابط عن مثله إلى متاهة. What the a person who's not known of misconduct and he is ضابط, meaning his memorization is very good, you know, he reports it from people like him to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or actually not the Prophet, to the end of the chain, because the same rule applies about Sirah, same rules applies about the history, same rules apply about the Sahaba, the Athar, etc. The Hassan is the one that is where they are good, you know, they're well known of their good conduct, not known to lie, etc. And they have taqwa, etc. And they have good memorization, but not as good as the top tier. You know, a good way to explain it, explain it like a credit system. You have a credit score. You have some people, if you get 800 in your credit score, you are really on the top, you know? And you get people in the 700s, and you get people in the 600s, and you get people that, you know, nobody will lend them or will sell them anything on credit. This is how it is. It's the same idea. You have very people who are already recognized, proven themselves to be on a high caliber in reporting and on taqwa, and you have other people who are less, you know. And this is where, that's why, while the terminologies are specific, I mean, ilm al-hadith is called ilm al-mustalah, the name of convictions or conventions. It's all definitions, all, you know, al-munqata ghira, different from maqtu', the al-athar is different from the you know, the hadith, al-marfu' is different, you know, everything's a definition. Everybody agrees on the definitions, pretty much, but then the applications of them, that's where it becomes, you know, each person based on their understanding. And that's why you have one muhaddith comes and says, this is sahih, the other one says, no, it's hasan. The other one says, da'if, it's weak, all together. And that's why it's not a, we can explain the theory of it, the idea behind it, but not in the application is a different field altogether. I mean, that actually requires the knowledge of how to do it, the knowledge of fiqh and the knowledge of hadith and the knowledge of aqidah, depending on the subject. Okay. So you see that the hadith has both, you know, and this is, by the way, the same thing, Hajar al-Asqalani in Fath al-Bari, he said that this is the, you know, وَهُوَ مِنْ بَلَغَاتِ الزُّهْرِ وَلَيْسَ مَوْصُولًا. This is from the report of the Zuhri, and it's not continuous chain. And therefore, they do not take it. But I thought that it would be, inshallah ta'ala, just a side note as well. Now, the question is, what happened when the wahi stopped coming down? The Jibreel stopped coming. And you can imagine, still, it impacted the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So why would it stop? You know, something that we know, first of all, of course, to make a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yearn for al-wahi, you know, and also to emphasize that al-wahi revelation is not at the disposal of a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's not at the wish of a Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rather, it's something external, something coming from a second party, not coming from him, alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he feels like it, he'll come up with a Quran. It's not like that, you know. And look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Yunus says. وَإِذَا تُتْلَى عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُنَا بَيِّنَاتٍ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَانَا إِئْتِ بِقُرْآنٍ غَيْرِ هَذَا أَوْ بَدِّلْهِ قُلْ مَا يَكُونُ لِي أَنْ أُبَدِّلَهُ مِنْ تِلْقَاءِ نَفْسِي إِنْ أَتَّبِعُ إِلَّا مَا يُوحَى إِلَيَّ إِنِّي أَخَافُ إِنْ عَصَيْتُ رَبِّي عَذَابَ يَوْمٍ عَظِيمٍ. That, and if the ayat of Allah, our ayat, clear ayat, are recited to them, those who do not seek our meeting, liqa'ana, bring a Quran other than this, or change it. You know. So what does the response? قل, Allah Taala is telling the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, tell them, قل ما يكون لي أن أبدلهم تلقاء. I don't have the ability. You know, it's not up to me to change it on my wish. إن أتبع إلا ما يوحى لي. I only follow what is revealed to me. إني أخاف إن عصيت ربي عذاب يوم عظيم. I am afraid if I disobey Allah Taala, you know, from a severe punishment, عذاب يوم عظيم, a great day of punishment. And look at the next ayah. قُلْ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ. If Allah Ta'ala willed, not me, not the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, it's Allah Ta'ala. قُلْ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ, if Allah Ta'ala willed it, مَا تَلَوْتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَلَا أَدْرَاكُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ فِيكُمْ عُمُرًا مِنْ قَبْلِهِ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. That if Allah Ta'ala willed, I would not have recited nor have I taught it to you. You know, I stayed amongst you for a life, you know, for years of my life, don't you think? And in other words, he was not able to produce it from before. Now all of a sudden he's going to be able to produce it. And if you remember, can you think of an incident when the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam needed al-wahi and it got delayed for a month?
Hadith al-Ifk.
He sat for a month waiting. He sat for a month waiting somebody to clear, He sat for a month waiting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reveal, you know, a verdict regarding Aisha radiallahu anha. You know, and he's waiting. And this is the most beloved wife to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And if it was him who wanted it, made it, just okay, that's it. Clear her name in a couple of days and move on. But he, alayhi salatu wasalam, stayed for a month waiting until when it came, he went to Aisha, telling her, okay, the good news. He is receiving wahi. There is actually a topic in Ulum al-Quran about the relationship of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. This is a contemporary book about Ulum al-Quran, the sciences of the Quran. And what they did, they compiled all the ayat that talk about how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is depicted in the Quran. It is really worth reading to show that he is the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not to, wal'iyadu billah, to belittle him. Because remember, the highest level for any human being to be is the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But still, he is the abd and the makhluq with the khaliq, the created with the creator, the one who knows that he is at the disposal, at the wish and the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now when we talk about al-wahi, can we define what wahi is? What is wahi in the Arabic language, linguistically? Does anybody know?
The revelation.
No, that's a that's translation, man. That's cheap. No. الوحي هي what they call الإشارة السريعة الخفية. You know, a signal that is hidden and fast. A quick hidden, you know, like فأوحى إليهم. فأوحى إليهم أن سبحوا بكرة وعشية. It means he gave them a quick signal, a hidden signal, and, you know, do تسبيح, you know, in the morning and the evening. You know, that linguistically. But الوحي as a term, it is the communication of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with one, a chosen person from his creation, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, there is a big discussion amongst the ulama, even not really of Islam as much as the contemporary ones, more than the classical ones, about what is wahi. And the background of it, is, of course, the West does not recognize anything called wahi. The West, with the idea of scientism, meaning anything that did not go through empirical science, I cannot prove it. It's not a fact. You know, you cannot prove, because you cannot test for iyadu billah. You know, the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him through a lab to test whether he exists or not. Therefore, we say, you know, some people say no God, and that's really not scientific, because you cannot test it. How can you pass a judgment? But other people tell you that it cannot be proven. Anything that's not proven. And then you have people like Malik bin Nabi, rahimahullah, you know, who wrote about the wahi, and he wrote about how trying to bridge the gap between the wahi as we understand it with the Western mindset. So he started talking about, you know, like electromagnetic waves, you know, things that are, you know, waves, you know, that there are waves that you cannot see, you cannot sense, but they're there. You know that there is oxygen in the air, but you cannot, you know, and it's like that. You know, the wahi is like that. I don't know what it's like, because the wahi is from the ghayb, is it not? Yani, if the wahi, the communication between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and one of his ibad, and then we talk about that, these are the prophets, and the last of them is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if we're talking about the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah ta'ala communicated with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did he communicate with him? You know, through something similar to electromagnetic waves, something similar to maybe not. I don't know. But we don't have access to that reality for us to actually come up with all of this is just to show that really that it's possible. Actually, in Islam, we set in Islam, we have the way we believe is structured. It is not haphazard. It's not random. And we don't have to go to this extent trying to rationalize everything to make it, you know, fit in a Western model or an Eastern model. It doesn't make a difference. The issue here is that, is there wahi or not? The wahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran al-Kareem, وَكَذَلِكَ يُوحِي إِلَيْكَ وَإِلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ اللَّهُ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And it is as such, Allah ta'ala, the Almighty, the All-Wise, reveals to you and to those who are before you. So the Quran dictates, it says that there is Allah Ta'ala revealed to you. That's the proof. So what is it relying on? Relying on the miracle, on the Quran and Kareem, our belief in the Quran and Kareem. Why do you accept the Wahi? Because we believe that the Quran is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. How do we believe that the Quran is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala? It's miracle. Regardless which aspect of the miracle you want to discuss, but it's miracles. We believe that Quran Kareem is miraculous. So if a miraculous, which is the proof of Muhammad, you know, for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that's what he brought to prove that he is a messenger. If he alayhi salatu wa sallam produced this, this is the evidence for my truthfulness. And that evidence says that Allah, you know, in huwa illa wahyun yuha, that, you know, fa'awha ila abdihi ma'awha. You know, Allah Ta'ala says that he revealed to his servant. So he revealed to his servant. You see my point. It's not blind faith. We did not take it blindly. We took it based on our belief in the Quran Kareem. And our belief in the Quran Kareem is based on the miracle of the Quran. How many people are still awake? Is it clear? So now, how did the wahi, what was it, how was it really revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Allah ta'ala in Surah Al-Shura, in the says, وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشْرٍ أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ وَلِلَّا وَحْيًا. And it is not, وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشْرٍ. And it is not befitting, or it's not, أَن يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ. And Allah ta'ala will not speak to a human being except by, إِلَّا وَحْيًا. أو من وراء حجاب, or behind the curtain, either through revelation or from behind the curtain. أو يرسل رسولا فيوحي بإذنه ما يشاء إنه عليم حكيم. Or he sends a messenger, okay, to this human being, and he reveals to with Allah's permission whatever Allah wills, and Allah Ta'ala is all majestic and all wise. So here he puts the criteria or the way of wahi in three ways. That you are going to have, Allah Ta'ala is going to send a messenger, or Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will speak to the person from behind a hijab, a barrier, a curtain, such as with the story of Musa alayhi salam, وكلم الله موسى تكليما. Allah Ta'ala spoke to Musa. How he spoke, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, how, we don't know. But what we know is that he spoke. And what we also know is that he Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, just like all of his attributes, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, that ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. So there is nothing like him, because somebody will come and say, well, speech means there is a tongue involved, there is a mouth involved, there is a, you know, speech. This is for the created, yes, but we never compare the created with the creator. One is created, one is creator, and the creator is beyond our capability to think about his essence, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. So we stop where he stops. So he says that he is Sami' and he is Basir and he is ala kulli shay'in qadir, and he is, you know, we say exactly that, and we do not render into the house, and we do not go into the how and ha, you know. Allah Ta'ala says, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا. We stop at that. How did he Subhanahu wa Ta'ala speak? I don't know. No, because why? Because he did not tell us. And that's where we stop, you know. So that now, this is one form. And the second one is that it is revelation. The third is what Allah Ta'ala would send a messenger. Sending a messenger, just like with Jibreel alayhi salam, we talked about him in the cave, we talked about him outside, about coming in the shape of a man, speaking to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is, yursila rasulim. The wahi now, the word wahi, it has of course different forms. One hadith from Aisha Umm al-Mu'mineen radiyallahu anha, that al-Harith bin Hisham radiyallahu anha sa'ala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqala ya Rasulullah kayfa ya'tika al-wahy, how does the revelation come to you, how does the wahy come to you? Okay, so Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ahyanan ya'tini mithla salsalat al-jaras, sometimes it comes to me like a ring of a bell, وَهُوَ أَشَدُّهُ عَلَيْهِ, and it comes, and that is, this is the most severe on me, meaning the most impacting, the most uncomfortable when that happens. فَيُفْصَمُ عَنِّي وَقَدْ وَعَيْتُ عَنْهُ مَا قَالَ, and then he separates from me, goes away, and I am fully aware of what he said. I'm fully aware of what he said. وَأَحْيَانًا يَتَمَثَّلُ لِيَ الْمَلَكُ رَجُلًا, and sometimes the angel comes to me in the shape of a man, فَيُكَلِّمُنِي فَأَعِي مَا يَقُولُ, and then he speaks to me, and we mentioned the hadith about Islam and Iman, etc. So Aisha رضي الله عنها said, وَلَقَدْ رَأَيْتُهُ يَنْزِلُ عَلَيْهِ الْوَحْيُ فِي الْيَوْمِ الشَّدِيدِ الْبَرْدِ فَيَفْصِمُ عَنْهُ وَإِنَّ جَبِينَهُ لَيَتَفَصَّدُ عَرَقًا, that I saw Rasul in the severe cold day, and you would see him, the sweat is coming from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in great quantities. So this hadith, by the way, it said, he mentioned only two cases. He mentioned only he comes to me like a ring of a bell. In the hadith reported by Umar, that we used to hear dawi kadawi al-nahl, you know, that we heard like the buzzing of bees, you know, the sound as if you have many bees, you know, how they make that the buzzing sound. We would hear it like that. So Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he said that for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, could have been, and again, this is all speculation, could have been for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, that he heard it like a bell, but for them, the Sahaba who were there, heard it as the beehive, you know, or the bee buzzing, etc. So, but he mentioned one, and the other one, he mentioned that an angel would come as a man. You know, he would come and speak to him. But he did not speak other forms, such as the, you're talking about the وَالنَّفْثُ فَرْرَوْعِ, like inspire him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the angel as well. The true vision, the true dream, things like that, he did not mention. So Ibn Hajar actually, in explaining, he said that maybe this is, he's talking about the more common way of ways that they come through these two ways. But we have other hadiths, you know, that that show also that there was a different forms of revelation, and all of that part of al-wahi. So you have al-wahi, you have the speech, and you have the messenger, right? It would come to him. Okay, this is all I have about the wahi. Are we okay, or?
Leave it alone.
I'm sorry?
Gotta leave that one alone.
Right. So let's go back to the wahi. When the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received the wahi in the cave. So who was the first to believe in him?
Abu Bakr.
Before Abu Bakr was Khadija. Khadija. Because when from Hira, he went home saying, Zambiluni, Zambiluni, Dafiruni, Dafiruni, cover me, you know. And she was the one, if you remember, we were talking about that, how she was calming him down. And she said, because he said, Khiftu ala nafsi, I'm afraid, you know, he did not recognize, what is this? And she said, Wallahi la yakhdiluka Allahu abadan, Allah Ta'ala would never put you down. And she started talking about his qualities, that you are somebody who is generous and somebody who is truthful and somebody who helps the needy and somebody who keep relationship with families and you help. She started talking about his qualities, that somebody like you with these qualities, you're not going to be approached by shaitan. Okay, you are going to be approached by something good as well. Okay. So, and she's the one that, was the source of calmness for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I mean, you imagine coming to the people with the message that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought when you are alone. One. Who are you? You are a 40-year-old. You know, you did your business, you know, for Khadija radiallahu anha. You heard, you know, you had goats and for as a hired hand for people. I mean, very simple life. And all of a sudden, out of all mankind, you are saying, I'm the last messenger. It is a very tough, you know, thing to say. So she, alayha radwanullah, if it weren't for her, you know, you sit and you sit and say, if there was no Khadija. Because the what Khadija, you know, gave to Islam, all of us, she gets still all hasanat from what we, our Islam. Radiallahu anha wa abaha. And to the point, imagine this, Bukhari reported from Abu Huraira that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Ata Jibreel, the hadith says from Abu Huraira, Ata Jibreel al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqala ya Rasulullah hadhi Khadija, qad atat. You know, oh Messenger of Allah, this is Khadija, she just came and she has a container with food or drink. فَإِذَا هِيَ أَتَتْكِ, if she comes to you, فَقْرَ عَلَيْهَا السَّلَامِ مِنْ رَبِّهَا وَمِنِّي. Jibreel alayhi salam is conveying a message from Allah, رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ, رَبِّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He's telling him to tell this woman, السَّلَامُ عَلَيْهِ, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and from Jibreel alayhi salam. This is how many people that get that kind of honor? She was the only one. As far as I know, there was nobody else who received the salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, alone. And وَبَشِّرْهَا بِبَيْتٍ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, and give her the news about the house in Jannah. So she was actually the first one to be told the good news of Bishara bil Jannah. You know? And it's interesting, subhanAllah, the first one to become a Muslim is a woman. And the first shaheed was also a woman. Who was she? Sumayya, yeah, from Al Yasir. From Al Yasir. عائشة رضي الله عنها said, ما غرت على أحد من نساء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما غرت على خديجة رضي الله عنها. She said, I was never jealous of any of the women of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم as much as I was jealous of خديجة رضي الله عنها. أنا وما رأيتها قط. And I had never met her. You know. ولكن كان يكثر ذكرها. But الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم used to mention her a lot. وربما ذبح الشاة ثم يقطعها أعضاء ثم يبعثها في صدائق خديجة. And then he would actually slaughter the goat and he would cut it into portions and he would send it out to the friends of Khadija. This is after the death of Khadija. This is Aisha reporting. So after the death of Khadija, you know, فَرُبَّمَا قُلْتُ لَهُ maybe I would have said to him, كَأَنْ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِي الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا Khadija. Maybe nobody in this dunya but Khadija. Khadija. Yani there's nobody, what about me? You know, what about the other wives? And the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِنَّهَا كَانَتْ وَكَانَتْ وَكَانَ لِي مِنْهَا وَلَدْ And the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. That she was and she was and she was and he would not stop. رضي الله عنها وارضه. Actually, just talking about خديجة رضي الله عنها. Also, عائشة رضي الله عنها said in the hadith in Imam Ahmad, in the Muslim of Imam Ahmad, that the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم, if خديجة was mentioned, أثنى عليها. He starts complimenting her. فأحسن الثناء. And he would compliment her really well. So عائشة رضي الله عنها said, فغيرت يوما. Then I got jealous one day. You know? فقلت ما أكثر ما تذكرها حمراء الشدق. قد أبدلك الله عز وجل بها خيرا منها. You know? He said, you keep mentioning her. This woman with a red mouth, meaning that toothless, because خديجة رضي الله عنها was old. You know, she was older than the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم. And Aisha, of course, is young. So now she's saying, you know, it's an expression. Her mouth is red. It means that she has no teeth. You know, the old woman. And Allah Ta'ala replaced her with somebody better than her. Referring to herself. So Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَا أَبْدَلَنِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا Allah Ta'ala did not replace me with somebody better than her. Khadija is dead. He could have said to Aisha, what pleases her, you know, the dead is not going to hear you. Okay, but the Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم has to say the haq, you know. And he said, قَدْ آمَنَتْ بِي إِذْكَفْرَ بِيَ النَّاسِ She believed in me when people disbelieved in me. وَصَدَقَتْنِي إِذْكَذَّبَنِي النَّاسِ And she believed me, it's another, and she became a believer when the people disbelieved. And she was truthful to me when the people, she believed in my what I said when people called me a liar. وَوَاسَتْنِي بِمَالِهَا إِذْ حَرَمَنِي النَّاسِ And she supported me with her money, with her wealth, when the people did not. وَرَزَقَنِي اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ وَلَدَهَا إِذْ حَرَمَنِي أَوْلَادَ النِّسَاءِ And he gave me from her all my children when he did not give me from any other one. Because remember, all the children of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, daughters and boys except Ibrahim, they were all the children of Khadija, right? So that's she's the first one to believe. And remember we talked about her taking him to Waraqa bin Nawfal and asking Waraqa bin Nawfal about him and Waraqa also believing, becoming a Muslim. But somehow, even though, as I said last time, some ulama said that he's a Muslim and they consider him a Sahaba like Imam al-Tabari. But nobody, when they say who became a Muslim first, they would not mention him. So they would mention Khadija. And they would mention Abu Bakr, of course, and they would mention Ali, you know, but they would not mention Waraqa. Allahu alamu. But so Ali bin Abi Talib was actually raised by Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was in his house. And he became a Muslim at the age of 10. Ali, karamallahu wajha, was one of the people, and that's why they say karamallahu wajha. They say that because he never bowed down to an idol. Yani, Allah Ta'ala honored his face from being put down to an idol. So, and there is another report that he became a Muslim at the age of 8. He was not 10, he was 8. And this was from Ya'qub bin Sufyan, bi isnad sahih al-Urwa. That, you know, Ibn Ishaq said 10 years. And they, you know, it doesn't make a difference for 2 years. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Anta minni wa ana minni." You are of me and I am of you. And there are many hadiths complimenting Ali radiallahu anhu, which often the Shia use. Just like there are many hadiths that compliment Abu Bakr as-Siddiq and compliment Khadija and compliment Aisha and compliment Umar. Yeah, you know, I mean, the hadiths that compliment Umar, who's hated by the Shia, especially Umar, you know. I mean, when you say that the road that Umar bin Khattab walks through, the shaitan runs away from it. What else do you want more honor than that? You know, that the shaitan avoids Umar bin Khattab. You know, he nicknamed him Al-Faruq. Faruq, the one who separates between Haqq and Baqir. So there are many hadiths, and you find them in Manaqib al-Sahaba, or the qualities of Sahaba, the lives of Sahaba. You find them in books of hadith, in Bukhari, Muslim, all pretty much, all books of hadith have references to these things. And as a compliment of Ali radiallahu anhu, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam complimented him. He said that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Ali in Ghazwat Tabuk, because Ali could, complained. He wanted to go fight with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stay, he told him to stay in Medina. So he said, خَلَفْتُكَ فِي أَهْلِ. I left you with my family, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him. Ali said, أكره أن تقول العرب خذل ابن عمه وتخلف عنه. That, you know, I would hate the Arabs to say that I let my cousin down, meaning by not going fighting with him. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أما ترضى أن تكون مني بمنزلة هارون بن موسى إلا أنه لا نبي بعده. Don't you like to be like Harun to Musa? You know, because remember, when Harun went to, when Musa alayhi salam went to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to speak to Allah ta'ala, who did he appoint to in his absence? Harun, his brother. You know, so he said, but except that Harun was a prophet, there is no prophet after him. And of course, with this hadith, you have also that they run with it because that he should have been the Khalifa after Rasulullah, and that's a whole different thing. Another person who became a Muslim at an early age was Zayd bin Haritha, because he was actually a slave boy to Khadija. You know, and then Rasulullah took him and set him free and adopted him. And he was known for a period of time as Zayd ibn Muhammad, Zayd the son of Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay. Finally, and inshallah ta'ala, that's the last, just for the people's time. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was younger than Rasulullah by 2 years. And he was the long-time companion with Rasulullah, meaning when Abu Bakr became a Muslim, he was 38. And he was the most beloved man to Rasulullah. And this is what happened, you know, we get this from the conversation with Amr bin al-As, radiallahu anhu, years after that. Amr bin al-As asked the Rasulullah, "Man ahabbu an-nasi ilayk?" You know, so ayyun nasi ahabbu ilayk? Who do you love the most? He said, Aisha. You know, so he said, فَقُلْتُ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ. How about from the men? He said, أَبُوهَا, her father. You know, he said, then whom? He said, ثُمَّ عُمَرْ بِنْ خَطَّابِ. And, you know, he counted عُمَرْ بِنْ خَطَّابِ. فَعَدَّ رِجَالًا, after the man. And the hadith actually, it's Bukhari Muslim. And عُمَرْ بِنْ الْعَاصِ, he was not mentioned in the list. So he said, I stopped asking because my name never came up. So I didn't want to keep asking and it's like, where are you gonna fit in the line? So, but here, by the way, just a side note, you know, you're talking about this is in Arabia or 1400. Nowadays, if your wife is the most beloved to you, you'd feel embarrassed to say that she's the most beloved to you. Because we are machos, you know, really, we're men, we're tough men. You don't say that, I love my wife, or she's the most beloved to me, or etc.
You say your mother is.
What is it?
You say your mother is.
You say your mother, yeah.
You say mother.
But here, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that time, when women did not count for anything, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Aisha. Not only that, he did not say Abu Bakr. When he said then from the men, he said her father, still referring to Aisha. You know, and just a very different, subhanAllah, mindset from, I don't know where we got our minds. SubhanAllah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam talked about, you know, about the Bakr al-Siddiq, when he said, مَا دَعَوْتُ أَحَدًا إِلَى الْإِسْلَامِ إِلَّا كَانَتْ لَهُ عَنْهُ عَنَّةٌ كَبْوَى, or إِلَّا كَانَتْ لَهُ كَبْوَى. That, like a pause. I never invited anybody to Islam without them taking a pause, except Abu Bakr, ma'attam, meaning that he did not delay it. Even, I remember, before that, actually, when there was a dispute between Abu Bakr al-Siddiq and one of the companions. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, هَلْ أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُونَ لِي صَاحِبِي? Can you leave my companion alone? هَلْ أَنْتُمْ تَارِكُونَ لِي صَاحِبِي? Can you leave him alone? Then he continued, عليه الصلاة والسلام, he said, إِنِّي قُلْتُ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا فَقُلْتُمْ كَذَبْتُ وَقَالَ أَبُو بَكْرُ صَدَقْتُ. That I said to you, O people, I am the messenger of Allah to all of you, and they said, you're a liar. But when I said that, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq said what? Sadaqt, you're telling the truth. And that was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. Because of him, several people became Muslims, and we'll talk about that inshallah ta'ala next week, so that we don't take a moment. Subhanakallah wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khair for you.